Parsha Shlach Lecha is ultimately the most tragic parsha in the whole Torah. It's a parsha that changed the course of history, not only the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim coming to Eretz Yisrael, but it changed the course of history forever and ever. In as much that Klal Yisrael, because of this, had to wander around 40 years in the desert, that entire generation died. Moshe Rabbeinu was not going to lead at that stage. He wasn't going to go straight into Eretz Yisrael. The Churban would have been different. The Golos would have been different. This was the single most tragic mistake, event, that possibly had even the Egel, that was an absolutely terrible thing, was we were able to deal with Tshuva. Mechelin Omis Sifrecho, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, no, I gave you Kapora, I gave you Tshuva, even Tshuva worked for the Egel. But there was no Tshuva for the Chetam Meraglim. And Chazal tell us that there's a Machlokes in the Gemara Sanhedrin that, according to one opinion, that Dori never got Gan Eden either. So what was the source? How do we get these people who Lemais left Yetzias Mitzrayim? These people were on the highest, most perfect element of survival. They're living on mon, which is totally ruchni. They're drinking water from a Be'er of Miriam, that's totally ruchni. Being brought up, the children being brought up, they themselves had guidance by Moshe Rabbeinu, the Av Shel Kol HaNeviim. They everything they did was done through Al Pi Hashem Yachnu, Al Pi Hashem Yisol. The whole life focused and centered around elements of Kedusha and Tahara and Ruchnius. And these people became apikorsim. Total apikorsim. The pasuk says, "Vanoshim asher olu imoy omru lo nuchal la'alo yisala'om." We cannot go up, ki chozuk hu mimenu, because literally translated was that it's too strong for us. Mimenu, says Rashi, kavayochu klapim malo omru. They're speaking about, as far as Shemaim is concerned, coming into Eretz Yisrael is too difficult for Kodesh Baruch Hu to do. These are people, kulam anoshim, kulam anoshim. How big were these people anoshim? You know, it's brought down in the Ramban. Now kulam anoshim, ve'elu shemoy some other names, how are these people organized? In what levels are these people discussed? In other words, in the previous parashas we have Nachshon ben Aminadav, Yehuda comes first, Hashem Yehuda comes first. What brought these people into these orders brought down in this parasha over here? First you have Reuven, then you have Shimon, then you have Yehuda, then you have Ephraim, then you have Binyamin, then you have Zebulun, then you have Yosef, Master Menashe, then you have Don. So what made them organize in this levels? It's brought down in the Mefarshim, that the Baal HaTurim, I think, brings it down as well, that it was brought down in the levels of greatness of each person. It wasn't according to the tribes, the status of the tribes. It's brought down according to the gadlus of that particular ish that went out. Right? So in other words, Kole Ben Yefune was number 3 on the list. Reuven came first. He's number 3 on the list. Yeah, Hoshea ben Nun was number 4 on the list. They had people greater than Kalev ben Yefune and Yeshua ben Nun. These great people came back to Eretz Yisrael as apikorsim. What happened to them? What happened to them? And not only did they come back to apikorsim, imagine apikorsim stands up in the shul and starts saying, Rabbeinu Shleinam can't take us in. We can't do such a thing. We'd stone the guy. We'd stone him. Put him on his Twitter page. Yeah, there's no Rabbeinu Shleinam. We'd wipe him out. And he comes back to Klal Yisrael, to Moshe Rabbeinu, in front of Moshe Rabbeinu, in front of all Klal Yisrael, and he stands up and he says, I'm telling you, Klal Yisrael is not Shaykh. And they believed him. And everyone started to cry, and Bechir, the Doyer started from there. How is he able to do that? What's even stranger is the fact that this was a tragedy that Klal Yisrael never, ever, ever was able to recover from. But in this week's Haftorah, we have the exact same thing. Yeshua ben Nun, who is seen with his own eyes, how these things can happen, how the whole thing can unravel. He himself, yeah, goes over Yishach Yeshua ben Nun, Ashitim Shnayim Anoshim Meraglim, Cheresh Leimoy Lechu. Again, we have Meraglim under of the parasha in Yeshua. So again, they're going for Meraglim. Two Meraglim went into Eretz Yisrael to check to spy out the land. So what? But these people also good. The Kulam Anoshim. So what happened? What was the difference between the first group of 12 Meraglim that went out there, and the Kulam Anoshim, they're all great people, and they came back as apikorsim, besides two of them obviously, and the Haftorah, where again the Meraglim were sent out, and they came back fantastic. What was that element of difference between those Meraglim and those Meraglim?
Isn't Kalev one of the Meraglim the second time?
And who was the other one?
Pinchas.
Good.
So
yeah.
He
picked
pretty good
guys. He picked. Yeah. So it's Kalev and Pinchas, right? So Kalev. Kalev's been tested. Kalev pulled through. But Pinchas also, he proved himself. But what was the element of difference between the two? More than that, I want to focus on it. This Haftorah really gives us a insight into the whole understanding of how these Meraglim made it and the other Meraglim didn't. We'll see later on. Meraglim Cheresh Lemoir. Cheresh Lashon Cheresh. We'll see Odenware. We'll see a certain element over there. But let's get clarity with what's going on over here. Klal Yisrael were in the Midbar. Klal Yisrael were in a environment of Nisim. In Nisim. And they were living in a bubble of Ruchnius, totally disconnected with the world, living in an aura of Moshe Rabbeinu and Sarah Lofim, Sarah Meo, Sarah Chamishim, Sarah Sora, living in total Ruchnius, living in this kind of aura. And they come back and they want to know what the real world is like. What it's like in the real world. What's it like there? I'm Yeshba Eitzim Ayin. Tell me, what's going on? What is Eretz Yisrael like? And they send these people really interested to hear what's going on. And they come back and they bring these massive fruits. Yeah, I was in Chutz Aras last week. I saw a cherry almost the size of an apple. Right? But that's okay. Okay. There, they had grapes. Humongous things. They had gigantic fruit. And they come back and, what is this? We've never seen such things before. And they show them the fruit. What's the idea of showing them the fruit? They're telling them, Rabbosai, we're going to Eretz Yisrael, which is way beyond Nissan that we have over here. We have Mon. We have all good stuff for here. Every day is Monday. Yeah? Fantastic. But you wait. Go into Eretz Yisrael. Yeah? You are living in an environment of Nissan, which is even greater than here. In fact, we've got to take on these giants. We've got to live in an environment of Kedusha. We've got to live ourselves without Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu is going to die. That was last week's parasha. Elder the Maidot said, Moshe, Meis, Yeshua, Machnis. Not going to have Moshe Rabbeinu. And we have to survive in Eretz Yisrael in an environment of Kedusha and Tahara, living Nisim, seeing these huge fruits. And I'm telling you, Rabbi Yisrael, we're not holding there. We're not holding there. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't help us. Why? HaKol Bidei Shemaim Chutz Mi Yerushalayim. Everything's in the hands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, says Yerushalayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't help us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu not going to help us. And therefore we're going to go in there and be eradicated. We're going to be destroyed because of our own Meisim. And therefore, FSR, I'm telling you, it's not Shaykh to go into Eretz Yisrael. It's not Shaykh. Eretz Yisrael is an all or nothing situation. And we are nothing. We're nothing. There's no way we are able to live in that kind of society. Eretz Yecheles Yishvehel. And the truth is, Eretz Yisrael is Eretz Yecheles Yishvehel. We are living in an incredible land based on Nisim. I don't have to tell you, we live here, Baruch Hashem. People live Chutz Oretz. Yeah? It's difficult to understand what happens in Eretz Yisrael. The Maisa Nisim that we see is incredible. But the Maisa, it needs Nisim. And therefore, it's an all or nothing situation, and we are nothing. And the Yetzihara tells us the same thing today. You know, Lashon Hara. You want to keep Lashon Hara. Do you know how complicated the Hilchos Lashon Hara is? There's this, and there's that, and there's 17 Lavim, and 14 Essen, and 3 Arum. It's not Shaykh. It's not Shaykh. So you know what? Keep the Lashon Hara for the Tzaddikim, and we'll do everything else. Yeah? The picture that they drew is living in an environment where it's Tzaddikim or nothing. And we aren't Tzaddikim, and therefore there's no point going in. That is how they were able to bring them down to a level that they became unwilling and unwanting to go into Eretz Yisrael. Now, that is the mistake that the Meraglim were able to convey and to sell to Klal Yisrael, and they bought it hook, line, and sinker. They really bought into that. That was bad Meraglim. What a good Meraglim. Okay, in the Haftorah we have Yeshua sends out two people, Shnayim and Noshim. Who are these people? It does not say who these people were. Anonymous people. And not because these people were anonymous, not because they weren't known. Believe me, every child knows who Kalev is and who Pinchas is, right? A lot more than they know who Shmuel ben Zakkur is from Matei Reuven, or Shofar ben Choyri is from Matei Shimon. So why does it say Shnayim Anoshim Meraglim? Say who they were. Let's have names. Let's hear who they were. Cheresh Leimoy. Cheresh means like from Cheres. Chazal teaches from Cheres. It's like from earthenware. What's the idea behind this? Even more than that, very, very interestingly, we have the whole story over here with the hero of this story was Rochav. Who? Heroin. Yeah, prefer not to use. Okay.
Heroin.
Heroin doesn't sound good. But the hero, female hero, female of this haftorah is Rochav Hazoino. Now, who is this Rochav? Who was this Rochav? The Gemara says, "Ein lecho kol sav nogid shlo ybar al Rochav Hazoino." This woman had a reputation that was beyond anything one can imagine today. You know, one imagines the Avia Boi Satuma, and she was worse. I don't know, first what comes to mind, Madonna, right? Avia Boi Satuma, right? Yeah, with all her Kabbalah and all that. Avia Boi Satuma, and she was Rochav Hazoino, and Rochav Hazoino was much worse than that. The Gemara brings down that Bas Yudshonim Hoiso, because she Yotza Klalis from Mitzrayim, she was 10 years old. Vezonso Komem Shono. And she was in the business for 40 years until he came to Eretz Yisrael. Until Kazal came to Eretz Yisrael. That's Rochav Hazoino. It's all different Gemaras. Who did she end up marrying? Yeshua ben Nun. Now that, I've heard of interesting Shidduchim before. Yeah? But this is putting Avia Voi Satum with a God Lador. Come on. And it's like, whoever thought that one deserves Shatchanus. Serious Shatchanus. How do you put Madonna together with the God of Lador? This is incredible. Obviously, she deserved it. Obviously, that she was on the level that she could marry the God of Lador Mamash and Yeshua ben Nun. How did she do it? How did Rochav, from the lowest ebb of humanity, how did she come along and bring herself up to levels where she could marry the God of Lador of the generation coming to Eretz Yisrael? Unbelievable. How is that Shaykh? The Gemara says, from her, Zochso Shiyotzimenu, Ches Nevi'im, V'Koyhanim. 8 Nevi'im came out from her, and Koyhanim Gedolim came out from her. That was the how she was able to bring up a generation, not only herself, but a generation of future Klal Yisrael. How did that come? So it's a very, very interesting medrash. The Gemara says, Omer Lefan Rebbeinu Shleilam, B'Shlei Shachatosi Lefanecho. It's brought down that with three things, I did a chet in front of you, Rochav Hazoino said. Bechevel, bechaloin, ubechoyma. With a rope, with a window, and a wall. Beshleishim mochali. With those three things, be moichel to me. And then read through the whole story over here. She threw a rope and with a wall and everything else. What was this rope, wall, and window? What was that all about? So the Medrash brings down a fascinating thing. That Rashi brings down. Sheba oisei chevel bechaloin hoya hanoyefim oile molel. She would have a window over the wall with a rope. And people who did znus would climb up through this rope, climb up through the window, and come in to her, I don't know, her penthouse. Right? And that's how they'd come in. Very, very interesting. Now let's understand this. Okay, if you don't mind, I use euphemisms because this may, recording may go out to further audiences. You're dealing here with somebody who is in a business that is completely immoral, completely corrupt, but in a country that accepted it. Eretz Canaan was a land full of immorality, full of this, of these businesses were something that was totally accepted. Why would anybody, therefore, climb through a window with a rope and a wall, climb up there and just snappling up this window to come into, go through the front door? I'm sure she had a very beautiful front door with a big wood door with a big bell and a big chime, and he had probably a butler bring you in. What? Why go through this wall window? What's all that about? Elamai. What you have to say is as follows. Rav Shimon Schwab says this, and it's a beautiful vault. She was famous for what she did. She had no shame for what she did. People generally had no shame to use her services, but there were some people who still had embarrassment, that they were allowing the animal side of them to get away with things. And these people did not want to go through the front door. They wanted to come through the window. So she could say to them, you guys are crazy. I've got enough business with that. You're not starting climbing, putting ropes through windows. No. She accepted that although she may be in her lowly level, a terribly low level, yeah, that she does what she does, but I have to accept that there is sneers in the world, and I am obliged to accept, honor, and respect that. And that if people want to have the dignity and come through the window, I'm going to respect that sneers. The Baal Shem Tov says, "Im yir nidchachol mishmei ha-shemayim, b'ktzei ha-shemayim, if you'll be scattered from the ktzei ha-shemayim, that's how Kodesh Baruch Hu will bring you back." So Baal Shem Tov says, why does it say im dachol b'ktzei ha-shemayim, from the ends of the shemayim? It should say im dachol b'ktzei ha-aretz, if you scatter all over the earth, I'll bring you back. What's a ktzei ha-shemayim? So he says that every person has conflict inside him, and some people, Rachmana Litzlan, can reach levels that can reach mamash like Rachel Vazoina. But if there's a nitzutz, if there's a spark within one that is not allowed to burn out, he has a bit of shmaimius inside him. He is a little bit heavenly, yeah? HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take mekzeh ha-shemayim, he'll take that little spark, and Mishami kabetz Hashem lekecha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will awaken that spark and bring the person back. Rochav, with all that she did, had this small element of tznius that she still retained inside that she respected. And she built on that level of tznius, and she worked on it to levels where she was able to marry the Godol Hador Mamish and have Nevi'im and Kehanim coming from her. What amazing, amazing woman. What an amazing woman. What inspiration. And she was able to twist her low self-esteem and low level of Kedusha and say, no, I am where I am. I have my limitations. But if I work as best as I can reach marrying the Godol Hador. Completely the opposite of what the other Meraglim did. The other Meraglim said, who are you? No, you'll never make it. We need Nissim, or we're entitled to Nissim, we'll never make it. And that's how they fell. Says in Haftorah, no, we can have a person who fell, and they're on their terribly, terribly low levels, but they're able to raise themselves up and become mamish, married to the Godol Hador. What an inspiration, what an amazing person. That is the opposite to what's going on over here. The opposite is a person with low self-esteem, a person with the inability to bring themselves up to a person who is got high self-esteem and ability to work slowly, slowly to take the shemaimius and bring them in. Mefarshim will say that when they made their report back, they said, one second, bear with me. Yeah. V'shomer inu es nefilim. We saw the giants b'nei anok min anefilim. V'nehi einenu bechagovim, and we were in their eyes like grasshoppers. V'chein hayinu beinehem. What does that mean? We were in their eyes kechovim. V'chein hayinu beinehem, and so we were in their eyes. How do you know? We were in their eyes like grasshoppers. In other words, when we looked at these giants, we took a look like grasshoppers. V'chein hayinu beinein, and Mefarshim say, that was the biggest chet. How do you know what people are looking at you? V'chein hayinu beinein, and so we were in their eyes. You're worried about what other people think so much. How do you know? Maybe they saw you as being very respectful. You're very short compared to them. But who said they treated you like grasshoppers? You had yourself, you have self issues with yourself. V'chein hayinu beinayim, and we think that people think badly upon about us. V'chein hayinu beinayim was the chet. The chet was low self-esteem. The chet was an understanding that we can't make it because we're not able to do it. Says the Haftorah, wrong, 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 wrong. We can have somebody called Rochav, she can marry the Godol Hador by having a small nitzitz and working on there to become the greatest woman. This is the two opposites in this week's parasha.
She's Goya, so it's once she converts, everything she's wrong is not counted. She's not the Yidya, because the Yidya of her,
But she, first of all, she did, the fact that she wanted to do geirus, yeah, it was absolutely amazing.
So once you're a geir, you start from...
Fine. So you start at zero. Yeah. You don't start at minus.
No.
But to start from zero and to marry the God Lador is a long way to reach the God Lador.
That's true.
Yeshua was a very eligible person. He had to marry Rachov.
But what about the potential? Like, you know, that Bilam, he had the... What about that aspect? You see what I'm saying? Like, she had obviously... She was the Avi of Tuma. So obviously she had the potential of being the Gadol Hador, you know, from the female perspective. So
correct. Absolutely correct. But the Yetzer Hara is able to convince a person, however the greater they are, that so much is expected from you, and look how badly you're doing on that level, you'll never make it up there. You'll never get there. You'll never get there. And the koichus of Rochav was to see she had potential, and to build, and break away from her past to become the God that through her greatness, through understanding who she really is. That's a godless.
Look at Henry VI. He was supposed to be the cardinal, the Archbishop of Canterbury. He was full of everything.
Yeah.
Well,
you have to, of course. Yeah. You know, there's a beautiful story I have over here. There was the koyach of recognizing who one is and understanding that the potential one has inside us. There's a story over here with a certain mikveh in Yerushalayim. There was a Baal Tshuva who came there, and there was a man who was, saw him, he was hesitating. So he says to him, "What's the matter?" He says, "I don't feel very comfortable." He said, "What's the matter?" He said, "I have on my back a tattoo, a huge tattoo, that obviously I did before I became frum, and obviously all frum people around me here, and I don't feel comfortable about going to mikveh with this tattoo." So this man very cleverly said, "You know, I also have a tattoo." He says, "Really?" "Yeah." "Where?" "On my arm." "So where's that from?" "From Auschwitz." He says, "I came from the depth of the horror, and Baruch Hashem, I'm here in Eretz Yisrael. You came from the depth of the horror, and look at where you are today. Let's hold hands and go into the mikveh together." That's the godless of a person, that he can have a tattoo, and he can go into the mikveh, and he become a tzaddik. This was a difference. This was a kliach of the Yetzer Hara to imbibe within us the kliachas. Let me just finish off now with the Haftarah. The pasuk says, Cheres. Yeah, Shnei Manoshim Meraglim Cheres. What's Cheres? Says the Medrash, Sh'osu Atzmu Kekadorim. They made themselves like people who sold pitchers, people who sold Cheres, I mean earthenware containers. For Hoyot Tzvachim Harei Kederes, and say, "Here, come everyone, buy pitchers, buy these earthenware containers. Mi Sheyirtze Yovei V'Yikne. Everyone wants to come and buy from us." So Cheres and Cheresh are interchangeable. So every spine is a cover story, yeah? And that cover story was, they're coming here to sell earthenware pitchers. What is the idea behind earthenware pitchers? Why dafka that? Why didn't they go and sell stocks? Yeah? Why didn't they sell, I don't know, iPhones? Why did they come in to sell cheres? What's the idea behind that? So he says that there's a unique halacha with cheres kalim. And that is, They do not become tummy from the outside. If you touch a kli, that's tummy, from tummy's tummy touches a kli from outside, does not become tummy. Only if cheres has inside tumma that goes inside, doesn't even have to touch it. But if it hangs, if he's hanging a piece of mace inside a cheres container, yes, then it become tummy from there. Because cheres intrinsically has no value, it's earth. The only its value it has is that it can be makabel, that it can accept. And therefore, if you touch earthenware, kale or something outside, it's nothing, because you're not touching, you're not affecting, you're not coming into contact with its elements of value. Once you start dealing with the elements of value, you start hanging things inside it, and therefore it becomes now makabel of clay kibble, then it becomes tomeh through its godless of clay kibble. The difference between the meraglim were kulom anoshim, they went out with the ego. They went out with, "Look who we are." And once an ego gets affected and they realize that they've got to be a lot greater than they think they are, Then they come back as Meraglim saying, we have no Klichus or Kosh Baruch to help us. Those two who went in, Shnayim Anoshim, who are they? We're anonymous, we're nothing. Who are we? We're Shluchim. All we are. Yeah, the Pasuk says, Shnayim Anoshim Meraglim. They were sent as Shluchim. There was Vayishlach Yeshua, he sent them. They didn't go in because we ourselves want to know what's going on. We are Kolev and Pinchas. And